All right, here we go. A new sefer, a new whole section of Torah, really. The beginning of a new series of really the transformation from the Avos to the Shvatim, and now the Shvatim into Klal Yisrael. That's really what's going on in the beginning of Shmos, is that Bnei Yisrael is starting to form and to be created over the next several parshios into a nation. Before this, we don't have Bnei Yisrael, really. We have Bnei Yaakov, we have Bnei Yosef, but now we're going to have Bnei Yisrael, we're going to have a Klal Yisrael developing. And as we know, the Torah starts off this week's parsha, and it should be Le'ilei Nishmas, David ben Yosef HaKoyin. So the parsha is jam-packed. You have like all the tzaras going on in Mitzrayim, and then the beginning of like the Geula, which is just amazing how much is contained in the parsha, so much to cover, but such just a week to go through it until the Kriyas HaTorah. So we starts off with Paro's harsh decrees against Klal Yisrael after Yaakov Avinu's, all his children pass away. So they're all in Mitzrayim, and they're becoming fruitful and multiplying, right? They're Paru, Vayishvatsu, Vayirbu, and Paro decrees against them, and he imposes slave labor upon them to make them work hard, and preventing them from multiplying. That doesn't work. Tries to figure out what to do then. Goes ahead and says, let's kill all the baby boys. And he does that. And basically, the righteous, the Nashim Tzidkanios of the midwives, they didn't listen to Paro's decree. Even though it's pretty bad not to listen to a king. But they Yari Shammai more than Yari Paro. And they were very, it was very noble and righteous of them not to kill the baby boys. And then Paro goes ahead and basically, it makes these decrees. Then we know the Torah tells us about Moshe Rabbeinu, that there's a little boy born, and they don't want him to be killed, so they go ahead, put him in the basket, and his sister Miriam watches the basket, and Bas Paro, we know, reaches out into the water as she's going to bathe, and she pulls Moshe Rabbeinu in the basket in, and Moshe's there. She names him Moshe. Interesting that Bas Paro has the zechus of naming Moshe Rabbeinu, not a Jewish person to give him a name, although he's the greatest leader we ever had as a nation. And then Moshe grows up in Paro's household. So he's raised there, and we know Yocheved and Miriam are able to, Baruch Hashem, with a miracle, nurse him and take care of him and watch over him a little bit. But he goes out one day, sees the Mitzri and the Jew fighting, and he kills a head. He hits the Mitzri, he kills him. Word gets out that he did this, and so he has to escape because Paro was ready to kill him. So he was scared. Paro, who's his own father, that took him in as an orphan, but he's going to kill him now, and he runs away to Midian. There he meets his wife, Tzipporah, and it was the daughter of Yisro, and they had their Gershom. And in the meantime, the Pesukim tell us about the terrible situation going on in Mitzrayim for the Jews, and they were crying and screaming and yelling, and they were really being dealt with very harshly and in serious bad slavery. And then one day Moshe was, shepherding the flock, and one of the, he just all of a sudden arrived at the mountain of Hashem, and he goes ahead, he saw the snare is bor ba'ish, the burning bush, and Hashem reveals himself and speaks to him. And when as he approached the snare, and Hashem says, Bnei Yisrael suffered a lot, and it's time to take them out of Mitzrayim and free them from the Egyptian masters. And Hashem gives Moshe specific instructions to gather the Zakenim and tell them that Hashem remembers the bris and that it's now time for them to go and to bring them to Eretz Zavas Chalav Adavash. And then the parsha, Moshe and Hashem have a very lengthy conversation, and Moshe goes ahead and listens to the orders finally and goes back to Mitzrayim with his wife and two sons. And he is was supposed to be up with Aaron and the Zakenim. And they went ahead and they got everyone. They performed these miracles that Hashem gave to Moshe. They went to Paro. They presented Hashem's demand of releasing the people. And Paro left, basically, probably, and didn't know what they were talking about exactly, and he mocked the request, and so he told them to make the work even harder for them, and to make the Jews more enslaved. And then the Jewish people were very upset at Moshe because look what you did to us. You made it even harder for us. Now you didn't do anything to help us. You only hurt us. And that's really how the Parsha concludes, that he basically, it doesn't end on a very Hashem responded to him, but you're gonna see what I'm gonna do, and to the Mitzrayim now. But that's where the Parsha ends, and then it's kind of like a cliffhanger into the next Parsha of Vayera. So lots to talk about in the time we have. Let's just start with the name of the Parsha. Shmos. Shmos, what does the word Shmos mean?
Names.
Names. Names. Why names? Very random name to give the Parsha. To give the Sefer, let alone the Parsha. Names? Because the beginning of the Parsha names
It's
people.
always one of the first three words.
It's true. For the Parsha and the Sefer.
Right.
But it's but why?
It's a bit deeper
You always
than
have to
that.
ask why.
Yeah.
You always have to figure out why. What's names? So the Bavitcher Rebbe had a beautiful idea on names. He said Shmos means names because the Pasuk says, Ve'ela Shmos b'nei Yisrael haba'im Mitzrayimah. Es Yaakov, Yishuv Yisrael, and then it goes down and lists all the people that went down to Mitzrayim. And the Bavitcher Rebbe explains beautifully that what is a name? What is a name? It says a person's name, and it says it on the sheet, but a person's name is an extremely personal matter, right? Whatever a person hears his name called out, the word resonates with his heart. You hear your name, that's your essence, that's who you are. You feel strong about your names. People want to pay money all the time to get their names on plaques and on buildings and make donations for tzedakah. Why? Mefarsim their name. Their name is very deeply connected with who they are. And it's he writes here, I never heard this before, but that a name is such a deeply rooted entity that if a person faints, chas v'shalom, whispering his name into his ear can actually bring him back to consciousness. Now, I don't know how that works medically or spiritually, but the Rebbe writes, the Rebbe's in his writings, it says it right here. So this is the inner significance of a name, the power of the name of a person that gets into the deep recesses of a person's neshama and their heart. But he says at the same time, a name is also superficial. It doesn't express a person's unique qualities at all, because we know there are many people who have the same name. Every person is different. So on the one hand, it's very personal to each person who has the name, but on the other hand, it's externally, there's a lot of Binyamins, and there's a lot of Shimshons, and there's a lot of Matthews, a lot of Jeffries, a lot of Aarons, a lot of Chaims. So, okay, it's not a big deal. There's a lot of I used to think as a kid, actually, everyone with the same name, maybe other people did too, everyone who had the same name was like the same type of personality. So if I liked, a Shimshon, I liked another, the next Shimshon I became friends with, oh, I like him too, he's going to be the same as the first Shimshon. And it went the same way, the other way too. If I didn't like someone with that name, it's like, okay, let's not become friends with the next one that I meet with that name. But a name, therefore, represents a paradox, says the Rebbe. On the surface, a name tells you nothing about a person. It's just what he's called. And yet, on probing deeper, it is a word that represents a person's total uniqueness and his essence and what he's all about. And it's precisely for this reason, the quality of a name, this paradoxical quality of names, that the Parsha is called names. Because the entire Parsha, what we read here, is like I said before, Bnei Yisrael are enslaved, they're being beaten, they're being in a very terrible situation. And then all of a sudden, there's the beginning of a geula. So you have this darkness going over all of Klal Yisrael. They're being killed. They're being tortured. They're being enslaved, working like dogs. And then through that gloomy time for Klal Yisrael, though, we also go ahead and read about the geula that's going to come, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises Moshe that he's going to deliver them out of Mitzrayim. And so we have this paradox. Well, on the one hand, the geulas is starting. On the other hand, the light of hope, of redemption, of future is starting too. And so just like a name, says Lubavitcher Rebbe, is a paradox as well, where it represents the innermost recesses of what a person is and what his essence is. It also is a generic way to relate to somebody because everybody else has that name too, whoever's named that name. It's nothing special. So the paradox in the Shemos and the Shmos is the connection to the paradox in the Parsha, says the Rebbe. And that's why it's called names. It's exactly the same type of paradox as well. It's a concealment of a person's true identity because so many other people share the name. The Parsha is superficially a concealment of the Jewish spirit, but deep down, the spirit always remains intact and alive. It's just b'derech hakdama, a beautiful idea from Lubavitcher Rebbe on the name of the parsha. But now let's move from the Lubavitcher Rebbe back many centuries to the Ramban. Ramban Nachmanides has a beautiful introduction to Sefer Shmos, and if you've never read it before, it's amazing. It's just teaches us really what the whole Sefer is about. The theme of the Sefer talks about the theme of Bereishis. So let's read it. Let's dive into that in source number one. Says the Ramban, Hishlim HaKosuv, Sefer Bereishis, Shehu Sefer Yetzirah. Bereishis is over, which was the book of creation. B'chidish HaOlam V'Yetziras Kol Notzar. And what was creation? So it concerned itself, Sefer Bereishis, with the creation of the world and the formation of all of its creatures. Uvemikre ha'avos shehem ke'inyan yitzir lazarim, as well as all of the events of the avos, which are also a sort of creation with regard to their future descendants, to their offspring. Why? Because of the famous idea of the Ramban, which we've talked about before in past weeks. Mipnei shekol mikrehem tzirei dvarim lirmoz lodia kol asid lava behem. Because everything that happened, basically, ma'isa avos in labanim, everything that happened to the avos are illustrations to allude to and foretell all that would come upon their offspring in the future. So that's what Sefer Bereishis was. Great. Once we finished the entire creation and the creations of the Avos and everything that came forth from that, we start another Sefer. And this Sefer, namely Sefer Shmos, it concerns the actions that emanated from those previous illusions, from everything that was created and everything created from that which was created from Sefer Bereishis. And the book he calls a Ve'elish Mos, which he uses even the first word there from the Pasuk, and which is, interesting. It's dedicated to the subject of what? The first exile that the Jewish people ever went through in our entire history in Mitzrayim. The Hanigzar B'Feirish, and we know that the decree to go to Mitzrayim is foretold explicitly back to Avram Avinu in Parshas Lech Lecha, I believe, of Ge'ula Mimenu, and to the redemption from that exile he was also told about. So this was all Hashem already destined this to happen. It was going to happen. This whole Sefer, this whole beginning of the Sefer, at least. So he goes on. A question many of the Mefarshim address. Therefore, the Parsha begins by mentioning all the people that went down to Mitzrayim, even though it already told us who they were at the end of Bereishis. So why did it repeat itself? So the reason is, because the beginning of the Gullus happened when they went down to Mitzrayim. That was the beginning of that. So now, since this Sefer is all about the Gullus and the Geula, the first one to ever take place, it repeats the beginning steps in the process, people going down to Mitzrayim, of how that Gullus started. So, Bavur, Kiridasam, Sham, Hu Rishis Hagos. Kimeaz, Huchal, for it was at that point that it started. Vinea Gullus, Einu Nishlam. Now, this is the key point of the Ramban, I think. I mean, a lot of key points, but this, in my opinion, is the point I want to draw out. Now, the Golus didn't end until what? Ad Yom Shuvam El Mekomam Ve'El Malos Avosam Yashuvu. Until the day the people returned to their place and returned to the stature of the Avos. Uchshiyatim Mitzrayim Alfa Pishiyatim Beis Avadim Adayin Yechashvu Golim. And this is why Shmos doesn't just end right after Yetzias Mitzrayim. It could have just ended when? Parshas Peshalach. Yetzias Mitzrayim. They got out of Mitzrayim. They crossed the Yamsuf. Good. The Gula happened. They got out of Egypt. They're not slaves anymore. They're not in a terrible situation. But no, that's not what happened. The geula, the full geula, doesn't happen until he says, "Ad yom shuvam el mekomam ve'el malas avosam yashuvo." Until they get back to the situation of the avos. So what does that mean? So, even when they left Mitzrayim, they were still golem. They were still considered exiles. Now they were wanderers. They're just runaway slaves. That's not really accomplishing much. Thank God they're not being killed and hurt and beaten, but what's the story? You know, I mean, now I'm free, okay, but am I really free? What's my plan? How am I going to live? Where am I going to live? What am I going to do? They're wanderers. They're travelers. See, kayu ba'eretz lo lahem nevuchem amidbar. They're in a land that's not theirs, wandering in the midbar. So he says as follows. So the question then begs itself, why is it that Sefer Shmos goes on and tells us about Matan Torah, and then goes on and tells us about Vayakel, Pekudei, all these parshas at the end. So he says as follows, Kibau el har Sinai, Vaso ha-Mishkan, V'shav ha-Kadosh Baruch Hu, V'hishri ha-Shechinah sabeneim. But when they got to har Sinai, they built the Mishkan, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu once again caused his Shechinah to dwell upon B'nai Yisrael, which is what Shmos concludes with in Vayakel, Pekudei, O Shavu ha-Malos ha-Voisam. Then they got back to the level of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov Avinu. Once that happened, they had a spiritual redemption as well. That was the conclusion of the Geula. Shahaya sod Eloha alay alayhem. Because as it said that the council of Hashem was over their tents, which is a pasuk at the end of. It's a paraphrase of some pasuk in Iyov. V'heim heim amarkeva as nechshu geulim v'lachin nishlam asefer v'azeh b'ashim ein ha'mishkan v'yos kvod Hashem malei oso tomid. That's why the sefer goes ahead, and at, only at that point they were considered geulam, and it concludes with the subjects of the Mishkan, the tabernacle, and with the glory of Hashem filling it always. What a fascinating Ramban. There's two kinds of geulas he's telling us. Yes, obviously leaving Mitzrayim was a geula on the surface. They're not slaves. No one's beating me. No one's telling me what to do, and I have to follow orders day in and day out. So I'm free. I'm free to do as I want and act as I please. I got out of Mitzrayim. I crossed the Kriyas Yamsuf. I saw the Mitzrayim be destroyed and be drowned in the water. But that's not the end. That's not the only geula. And that's not the important geula. What's the important geula? What's the purpose of it all? It was to get the Torah at Har Sinai and then to build a Mishkan, to have a Kadosh Baruch Hu Shechina B'Sharem amongst B'nai Yisrael once again, like the Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov had it, to go ahead and to get back to that level. And that's why, that's what Sefer Shmos Steam is all about and why it concludes with the Mishkan. It doesn't just stop after the left Mitzrayim. Okay, the Galus Geula is over. No. There's a physical Geula of their bodies actually being freed and not being slaves. And then there's the spiritual Geula of having a Mishkan built and a Torah given to them, which is both of them have to happen in order to have complete Geula and to conclude the Sefer of Shmos, which is the Sefer of Galus and Geula. So beautiful Ramban. And if we look in Rav Nissen Alper in source number 2, Limudei Nisan, so he says, Sefer Shmos hu Sefer HaGula. Sefer Shmos is the Sefer of Geula, Sefer of Redemption. Perish Geula hu Milashon HaGala. First time I ever saw this year, it's amazing. The Lashon of Geula is the Lashon of HaGala. I guess he switched the Ayin for the Aleph. Okay, no. He's to Drasha. So he switched the Ayin for the Aleph. HaGala is the concept of going ahead and purging something that becomes a treif into hot water and cleansing it, purifying it, making it kosher once again. So taking something that's not kosher and turning it into kosher. That's what Haggalah means. Hotzas davar mitoch davar. And the way it works is that you take something out of something else. You extract something. Because if you have a treif pot and it was treifed up through cooking something that's some pig or pork or meat and dairy, then the way to get that taste out of the walls of the pot is by doing Haggalah, by immersing it in the hot water at boiling temperatures. And then you take the pot out, and all the taste that's in the walls of the pot is then assumed to come out. And so it's taking out, extracting, it's boleya, the taste that's there. And that's what Haggalah is. Hotzas mikoach el hapoel. So he says it's really going from the potential to actualization. To make something come from something else. You have something, a flower that's just starting to, grow a little bit in the ground, and the seeds are planted, and then you see it grow, and then it blossoms. Something from something else. It mamish is like a whole new creation. Shimei ha'avos nir shemu v'koach kol ha'ma'ara she'ara levenehem. As we said before, as Ramban said, all the kochos were given to the avos, and everything they had was given to their descendants, to B'nai Yisrael, and to us. Now it was time, though, all those special qualities and that they had, those inner strengths, was given to B'nai Yisrael, and they had it, and now it's time for it to come out. They went ahead and they became they were zocha to this name themselves, B'nai Yisrael. And in the beginning of the first pasuk, just tells us that they were just tufel to Yaakov, right? Eilu shmos b'nei Yisrael, habayim Mitzrayimah, b'nei Yaakov, ishu b'so bo. So they're tufel, they're just there. But as the parsha develops and goes on, they're taking the kochos from Yaakov Avinu and bringing them out into Poal, and they're not now tufel anymore to Yaakov, not mentioned side by side to Yaakov Avinu, but instead are mamish their own separate nation in and of itself that who have the koachos that are imbued in them from Yaakov Avinu. So again, Shmos, so what does that have to do with Shmos? It's because Shmos's nickname is the Sefer HaGeula, and HaGeula is that Geula is connected to HaGala about going ahead and extracting the kochos from the avos into themselves and bringing them to fruition and having them manifest. So that's another idea from Rav Nissen Alpert on the name. Okay, moving along. So in source number three, we just have a nice idea, nice lesson from Sefer Yekaras LaShabbos Oneg, but it tells a story that kind of jumping ahead in the parsha. But when Moshe was the shepherd, right? He was a shepherd for his father-in-law Chohen Midan Yisro. He was in the midbar and he was going ahead and tending to the sheep. So there's a famous medrash you learn when you're in grade school if you go to yeshiva or Hebrew day school. Everybody learns this medrash. Not everyone, most people. The medrash misupar shemoshe rabbeinu rats achar se achar sheta upeirish min ha'eder ad shematzu v'achziro b'shalom. The medrash that says what happened. Moshe had all the sheep in front of him. He was shepherding his flock. One of them ran away. Moshe ran after that sheep. He left all the other sheep behind until he was able to find the sheep and bring it back together. So the kasha is asked, Davar Tema who's there? It's a Pella. How could this be? Amar Tzadik, Rebbe David Bear. Maybe someone can help me here. Kalish May Sakronavich. Sakronavich? I don't know. That's what it looks like. Hare Kisha Oza Moshe Rabbeinu is called there. How you Haim Bas Sakana? When Moshe Rabbeinu left the entire flock behind, now they're in danger. So you're going to go save the one sheep that went ahead, and he might be in danger because he's wandering at the expense of losing the entire flock that's still sitting behind, and you're leaving them alone. They'll all run away. None of them are going to be safe then if you leave them. So how are you going to sacrifice all of them at the expense of one? Why was he able to? Where did he have the right to go ahead and to chase after the one wandering sheep instead of going ahead and staying and protecting the sheep that were still there? Elatire tzatzadik. So here's the idea, and it's a beautiful lesson. Yodea yadua yeda Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu knew. Ki kasher ha'eder b'shlemus, that when the flock is in shlemus, it's all together without missing one sheep. It's supposed to have 50 sheep. Every sheep is there. So it's unified. It's all together. Lo yuna lo kulra. Nothing bad will happen to it. When there's achdus, when it's all together, it's going to be good. They can't be harmed. But when one leaves, then you could be in danger because the flock isn't complete and that one sheep is solo on his own. And I think what he's really saying is a remez for Klal Yisrael. When there's unification and achdus and everybody's avaschinam, everybody's getting along, then anti-Semitism and the terrible things that happen in the world, we're protected. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take care of us. But when we don't have that, when we have some wanderers who are not getting along, causing problems, not part of the tzibur, not part of the union, not part of Klal Yisrael, that's when we're in danger. I think that's what Moshe Rabbeinu knew already. And this is one of the lessons, maybe why he was such a great leader, one of the, you know, in many ways, that he cared about the one stranded sheep, that he knew he had to get everybody, all of them unified, to be together, to go ahead and be protected. So you see the qualities of Moshe Rabbeinu as a leader from this cute little maisa brought down in the Sefer Keras al Shabbos. Okay, moving on. So now we'll go to the first pasuk. Enough background. Right, these are the names of the sons of Israel who came down to Mitzrayim with Yaakov. Each man in his household came. So if you look in source number five, this is Sefer Yagdil Torah. It has a beautiful idea. He quotes Rabbi Abbas Yisrael Hayomer b'shem Atzadik of Yehoshua Mibels Zatzal Ki Halashon Habayim. What's this Lashon Habayim, which means that they kept coming? It's like a continuous a coming. It's not Shabbat that they came, right? If I go somewhere, we're all here learning together tonight in BTU. So I'm gonna ask you, you know, where did you come from? Where did you go? I came and Florida. I came from my house and I went to BTU. That's how you speak. Not I'm coming to BTU while you're here already. They're in Mitzrayim. They're there. Habayim, they keep coming. What does this mean? So says the Agdil Torah as follows. The Lashon of Boim is telling us, it's telling us that Yaakov Avinu taught his children and they taught their children that they should never, ever go ahead and root themselves, become settlers and people who are going ahead and living permanently in Mitzrayim, to have that attitude. Ela kamo sheze ata bo. Rather, it should always be like, what? You just came. Don't get comfortable. You just showed up. You've been here for 10 years, 100 years. No. Every second, you should feel boyim. I just got it. I'm just coming now. Why? Teva ha'adam kasher magil makom chadash v'chash keben beis b'shifto sham. Margash asmo ketosha v'misagel mahagay makom l'svasa toshim u'labusham. Right? So the nature of a person in general is that when he gets to a new place and he feels like he's been biased when he lives there, this is my home, this is my land, this is where I live, this is where I'm eating my food, where I'm making my living, where I'm going ahead and supporting my family, myself. So they get comfortable there very quickly. They feel like they're a toshav there. They feel like they're dwelling there. They live there. This is my land. This is where I am. A person moves to another community or goes to Florida for a couple months in the winter. So very quickly you're in Florida and you go ahead and you feel like Florida's this is where I live. This is my house. This is where I know where the grocery, I know where the Publix is instead of the IND or what's the big one here? Stop and Shop. I know where this is what I do. This is where I live now in Florida. I don't live in West Hempstead currently. So he said, and then you start talking like the people in Florida. Hopefully they talk nicely. And you start dressing like them. You don't wear your winter clothes down in Florida because you'd probably look funny walking around in the streets with that. And you just start doing what the social norms are. When isn't this true though? When isn't this the derech hateva for the person to go ahead and acclimate and get used to the new place that he's in? It's when a person isn't satiated and they're unhappy with where they are and they want to be somewhere else. Then you don't have that attitude or mindset. Then every second you're thinking about going back home, about returning to where you want to really be. Then you feel like you're a guest and you're just traveling and you're a tourist and visiting. This is what habayim is, that they kept this feeling of, I just got here, if I'm coming now. That they weren't shakua, they weren't, you know, embedded and stuck in the ways of the Mitzrayim and Mitzrayim. The second they have the chance to get out of Mitzrayim, they're out. Even when they weren't slaves, meaning even before they were slaves. The attitude that Yaakov Avinu went ahead and instilled, he had, and he taught his sons, was that you should never have an attitude of, oh, I came here and I'm stuck here and this is where now I'm going to get comfortable and be. Instead, it should be habayim, that I just came a second ago, but I want to get the heck out of here. I don't want to be here anymore. This is not where I want to live. This is not it. Lo shinu shmam l'shaynam umabusham. And that's exactly what the Medrash tells us. They didn't change their names, their language, and their clothing, because they were always strangers. They felt like strangers. They didn't assimilate and integrate into this Egyptian society. And that's what the Lashon of Habayim, they always had that feeling of that Yaakov was enrooted, that he rooted inside of them, that they shelo yargishu es asmim ketoshim mitzrayim, should never feel like you settled in Egypt. That's an important lesson for us in Gullus as well. Important lesson for us not to get too comfortable. Baruch Hashem, we're not slaves. Baruch Hashem, we're accepted in society and have all these freedoms that America grants us, which is amazing. But we should never get too comfortable. Never get too comfortable anywhere. Eretz Yisrael is where we want to be. We want to have the Gula. We want to have Mashiach. We want to have a Beis HaMikdash. Even without a Beis HaMikdash, we want to be in Eretz Yisrael. That's where every Jew should want to be. And if they can't move to Eretz Yisrael, okay, that's fine. Then they have to live here and do the best they can. But they should still always have a feeling of that's where I really want to be settling. That's where I should be and want to be. So obviously it's hard because if you live in Gullus your whole life and life is good and life is sweet and you can go to your seasons and your errands and soon a big IND wherever you want to go. What do they have, kosher grocery in Florida? Okay, so you get very comfortable, but we can't get comfortable. That's the lesson of Yaakov Avinu. That's the lesson from Bnei Yisrael, that they were always habayim. So if we look in source number 6, Bnei Yisrael paru v'yishutzu v'yirbu v'yatzma v'mod mod v'timalei ha'aretz osam. Pasuk tells us that Bnei Yisrael were becoming fruitful and multiplying and increasing, and they became very, very strong, and the land became filled with them. So now this is going to be fascinating. It's almost the opposite idea of what we just said. So let's see. The Netziv in Emek Davar asks a question. The Lashon in the Pasuk is very funny. Vatimalei ha'aretz osam. Without looking at a translation, what do those three words mean? The land became filled them. Doesn't say with. Osam. Osam means them. It's plural for, oso. Him, them. So it's plural for him, them. The land became filled them. Now, last time I checked, I'm not really amazing at grammar, or very good at it, actually. It's not my area, but that's not English. That's not an in English or Hebrew. It's neither. Says Netziv, Im haya ha-kavana eretz Goshen, if the kavana of the pasuk, says the Netziv, Vatimalei ha-aretz oisam, that the land became filled them, is talking that they became filled where? In Goshen, which was where Yaakov Avinu settled, that Pyro gave to him after he came down with the Shvatim. So it should have said, Mehem boy. The land became filled from them, meaning Goshen was like not a populated area so much. It was the ne adjacent, next to Mitzrayim. But from them, it now became filled. The Jews filled it up. Should say, Mehem. V'chein tagamunculus minahon, which I guess means, from them. Something along those lines, but not osam. Avaloshana mikra osam. Balalamed. Delo Eretz Goshen Levad, says the Netziv, Osam is teaching us, it became filled them, that what? They didn't just fill the land of Goshen. It wasn't only Goshen. That's where they started. Shahayim Yuchad Yisrael, Yisrael Levad, which was special and unique for Klal Yisrael, and went ahead and was filled with Jews. Ela Afilu Kol Eretz Mitzrayim Shaya Iker Yeshiva Simitzrayim Mikol Makom Malaya Haaretz Es Yisrael. Over time, what happened? The Jews were spread out of Mitzrayim too. They lived wherever they could. Umashmas osam. What's osam mean? Osam means imam. That they lived with them. The Jews lived, Bnei Israel lived with the Mitzrayim, amongst the Mitzrayim. They were getting comfortable in Mitzrayim. They weren't just in Goshen anymore. They spread themselves out. And he quotes a pasuk to prove the definition. Then he says, V'chaya kol makom panay shemati Yisrael liknos ladud nishi. Anywhere in Mitzrayim where there was a free place, a vacant place to live, they lived there. Mitzrayim here, right? Jew next to them, Mitzrayim on the other side. Mamish, wherever there was a house available, they went ahead and settled, and they settled there and lived there. And what's the raya? By Makas Bechoros, what happens? Hashem has to pass over the Bate of Bnei Yisrael, the Batim of Bnei Yisrael, so that the firstborns there don't go get killed. Well, if they all live alone, they're not amongst Mitzrayim, then just kill that section. But no, they were literally neighbors living amongst each other. And therefore, Hashem needed a siman, what houses to pass over to make sure that Jewish firstborns weren't killed. But clearly you see from that that they were living right with each other. So we'll just continue the next two lines, but here's the key kicker of the Netziv. He quotes, he says, V'haya kolo holeh v'laretz Mitzrayim. V'af agav sheivur l'halan, he quotes that Pharaoh's taskmasters were, enslaving the Jews in order to go ahead and to make them weak, mentally, emotionally. Mikomakom haya ba'ofen shenishar b'kerev ari Mitzrayim bein batayim. U'baha kasud l'hakte b'zeh siba sinus Mitzrayim egzeres hamalchus. Fascinating. The Netziv was an earlier, I'm sure, too, the Mepharshim. This is what caused the hatred from the Mitzrayim towards the Jews. This is why they enslaved us. This is why they hated us. Was because Bedafka, we went ahead and tried to fit in. We tried to live among them. We tried to go ahead and become brothers with them. And that's why the Mitzrayim went ahead and hated us. You're not Mitzrayim. You're Jews. You're different. You're not supposed to be mingling and with us, right? It's like a lose-lose. If we separate ourselves, then you're different. And if you try to assimilate with them and not like change your keeping the Torah and mitzvahs, but go ahead and live with them, then you're hated too because what are you doing? You're Jewish. We know you're not really, you're different and you're trying to like fit in. Not that's what was the sin was all about in the Gzeres HaMalchus. Umach Shavas Chashad Mashalo Ola Al Das Yisrael. Exact connected now to the idea we said before. It all happened because they lost those feelings and the message of Yaakov Avinu to stay in Eretz Goshen, to keep a mindset of I'm a ger, I'm a stranger, I don't want to be a part of the culture, I don't want to live with them, I'm different, I'm Jewish. That needs to be the lesson. And of course, it doesn't mean you need to be weird. you of course can contribute to society, you need to help society, right? Or Soloveitchik has a whole idea on Gerva Toshev Anochi Malcham, the Avraham Avinu says, but they Mitzrayim, when we did it, it backfired. We thought we're going to go ahead and become part of the culture and the Mitzrayim over time, and it worked against us and caused all the sinna that they had against us and the gzeira of Paro against us. And in source number 8, as Rav Chaim Volozhiner said famously, and it's a great line to just think about, that if Bnei Israel don't make Kiddush, then the Gentiles are going to make Havdalah. Which essentially means that if we are not Mekadesh ourselves, we don't separate ourselves. That's what the word Kadosh means. Sanctify, elevate, separate and elevate ourselves. We don't lead an example of a Jewish life of the way we should. And instead, we go ahead and try to, fit into the culture, into the ways, and start slacking off in our fundamental values of the Torah of Jews, then the Gentiles are going to make Havdalah on us. Then they're going to separate you against your will. You're going to willfully try to join in without making Kiddush to try to live a Torah, a sanctified life, Al Pi Shem Hashem, and you're not going to do that, then the Gentiles are going to come, and they're going to make sure you're separate from them. It's a beautiful line from Rav Chaim Volozhiner, but that's exactly the idea. And I think it's all about a sensitivity also. I remember when I started working at Ernst & Young, I was young, and whatever it was mid-20s, 24, 25, and everybody who was like starting there, who weren't Jewish and maybe were Jewish, but coming from these colleges and these frat houses, we're all so excited to go out drinking and to go have lunch together in the cafeteria. And I felt very, I didn't know what to do. I was like, on the one hand, I don't really want to spend much time with you. I don't dislike you as a person. You're nice people. I could talk to you, be normal, socialize in the hallway, say hello, how are you, and a good morning. Of course, go ahead and don't create Eva, but go ahead and be a pleasant person who is Mekadesh Hashem at work. On the other hand, do I really want to sit at lunch with you and hear like the conversations about how the bar was last night and what you're doing tonight? No. And it was awkward. And the fact that I felt weird and didn't usually ever go with them to a bar or ever, like maybe I sat with them for lunch in the beginning a few times and then I kept saying no and I think they realized they stopped inviting me. But the fact that I felt like funny about it is, I think, what Yaakov Avinu had in mind. You shouldn't go, you should feel a sense of being awkward, because if you're not sensitive to it, then it means that you're too comfortable and that's not good. So to have a sensitivity, a feeling of sensitivity and awareness to make sure that we don't lose our fundamental values by going ahead and involving ourselves with people who have, different ways of living than us and whose values are anti our values. I mean, it's okay to like, I'm not saying don't be friends with them, but if a non-Jew has values that are totally, they go out drinking every Friday night. Obviously, we have Keep Shabbos and we usually don't go out drinking and to bars. I'm not gonna tell you it's us or a paskin, but it's not a way a Jew behaves or acts. So we need to feel uncomfortable about that. We need to realize that saying no is the right answer, and then feel like that's the right answer. But it's I'm a little different and I'm weird because of that. Not weird. It's different, and that's good. Baruch Hashem. I'm like Yaakov Avinu. I'm not like the descendants of Yaakov Avinu who went intermingled and mixed amongst the Mitzrayim. So now move on to source number 9. Justin, just in time. Well, that's such a good rhyme. Justin, just in time. Wow. We have a Chofetz Chaim. The Chofetz Chaim al Torah. And before we get to the Chofetz, we only have 3 minutes. Okay, so the Chofetz Chaim goes ahead and he basically, he talks about the Pasuk that tells us as follows. When Moshe Rabbeinu gets to the Sneh, so Hashem tells him to take his shoes off, right? Right. Vayomer in Pasuk Hey in Per Gimel. Vayomer al tikr of halom shal na'alech mi'araglech ki'amokom asherata omeid alav ad mas kodeshu. Take your shoes off because this land that you're standing on is holy. Says the Chofetz Chaim, al tomer l'she'efne eshne. A person shouldn't say to themselves, when I have time, then I'll go ahead and learn. Amru Chazal. So Mishnah Perkei Avos in source number 10, Perek Beis, Mishnah Dalet. Ki ha'adam choshe b'nasho, l'shech yarchiv lo Hashem is gvulo v'yotiv matzavo, az yasek b'tayr mitzvos. Aval lochin Person thinks to himself that when Hashem allows me to have some space in my life, in my heart, in my neshama, some menuchas hanefesh, some peace and tranquility and no tzaros and a problem with this in the family and a problem with that, but then I'll learn. First of all, the problems never go away. They never end. Everybody knows. Everyone, at least for me, there's always something. There's always something that you consume your life with that will, you know, take away from your learning if you don't make it a priority. Something's always going on with a family member, a friend, yourself, whatever it is. So the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, "Don't do that because you'll never, you know that." But that's what it means. So he says, "Leze amar kasa." That's why the pasuk says, "Ki amakom hashat omed alav haynu baosa matzav oso shah." He says that the place that you are right now, Hamakom Asher Ata Omid Alav, the place that you're standing on now, he told Moshe Rabbeinu, Kodeshu, it's holy. The Efsha Shiratzin Hashem Hudafka Ba'avoda Me'osa Shah Hadechuka. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants what? The avoda of each person, Ba'asher Husham. In the exact situation that you're in the Admas Kodesh, in the place, Hamakom Asher Ata Omid Alav, is where HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to go ahead and have you serve him. So the point that Hashem was telling Moshe Rabbeinu and is telling all of us is that you can always make the place you are at that point kadosh, and you're supposed to serve Hashem from there. Don't tell yourself, this should be better, that should be better, and then I'll learn. This should be better, then I'll do chesed. From that place, that's when you go ahead and you make that place kadosh, and you serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu from that place, and that's exactly what Moshe Rabbeinu did. And the next verse we don't have time for, but it's a beautiful idea if you want to read on your own, that talks another pshat in Shalalacha Me'al Raglacha. Everyone should have a wonderful Shabbos, and thank you for coming.